理课堂听 class.com。
I decided that I, too, must find a good husband, but must not agree to a marriage until I was certain of my husband's good character. I told my friend of my plans, the captain's new wife, who I had helped. I had only £460 left of my fortune, aside from some jewelry. My dear friend advised me that if I would trust her,She would help me find a husband very soon. I agreed, and she soon invited me to stay with her and her husband in town. She then told her husband that I had a fortune of at least £1,500 and would soon have more. He then proclaimed to the other captains in town that there was a woman of fortune living with him and his wife.Whose husband had just died. I did not speak about this matter, but soon many others were told of my great wealth, and I immediately had several men interested in me. I chose a handsome young man, who declared that he was in love with me and wanted only to marry me. I told him I was poor, but he paid no attention to those words. Perhaps he did not believe me.Although he asked me no questions about my fortune, I did ask him a bit about his. As I had heard from the other ladies that he owned land in Virginia, far away in the western side of America, I politely told him that I was not fond of traveling across the ocean to live in America. He then told me of all his business affairs.Explaining that he had a yearly income of £300, but if he lived on the land, he could make nearly £1,200. I told him that I did not have a fortune suitable for a gentleman of £1,200 a year. He replied that he would not ask what my fortune was. He told me from the beginning that he would not.He promised me, however, that we would not go to Virginia if I did not desire to go. I was quite content with his words. I decided that he would make a good husband and would not be too disappointed at my small fortune, as I had told him many times that I was no wealthy gentlewoman. We were soon married and very happily married. I did soon find out that his income in Virginia,was much less than £300 per year, but I was satisfied still. After we were married, my husband still did not ask about my fortune, so I decided to discuss it with him when we were alone. "My dear," I said, "we have been married for 2 weeks, and you still have not spoken to me about my fortune.
You must tell me when you wish to, my dear,"
he told me.
"I am satisfied that I have the wife I love."
"That is true," I said, "but I have been worried lately, as I heard that the other captains have told you I am quite a wealthy gentlewoman."
"Well,"
he said,
"the others may have told me, perhaps,But you never told me of your fortune, so I have no reason to blame you."
I then gave him £160, telling him, "Here is something, my dear." Though the money was little, he had previously believed that I had nothing and was delighted with the money I placed in his hand. He then told me that he had supposed that my fine clothes,Gold watch and my diamond ring had been all my fortune. For the next 2 or 3 days, I said nothing, but then went to fetch another £100 from the bank to give him. A week later, I brought him another £240. "And now, my dear," I said to him, "I am very sorry to tell you that I have given you my whole fortune.My husband that had died took £600 from me before he died. Otherwise, I would be a gentlewoman with 1,000 pounds. He was pleased with the 400 pounds I gave him, as he had worried that I had nothing to give him. And so I cheated a man into marrying me, but was never caught. Although this manner of deceiving a husband into marriage is quite dangerous for a woman. My husband was a good man who loved and respected me, but he was no fool. He had expected me to have a wealthier fortune, but after discovering my true fortune, he began to speak of his land in Virginia, explaining that we could make a great deal of money if we moved there. I did not want to disappoint my new husband in his choice for a wife. Thus, I told him we must move to Virginia to make a suitable income for ourselves. He was delighted with my decision. We went on board a ship with furniture and clothing for our new lives in Virginia. After a long and dangerous trip across the seas, we arrived. We lived together with his dear, sweet mother. My husband continued to be loving and respectful, and I thought we would live this way for many years until an unfortunate incident ended all my happiness in a moment. My mother was quite a cheerful woman. She told me many stories of her past to entertain me. She also explained that most people in the town came to America as either servants with their masters, or they were prisoners in England, found guilty of crimes, punishable by death, but were sent here instead. They spent many years serving their masters, but then were freed and promised land from the government. "So, child," she said, "many prisoners from Newgate become great leaders in this country." She then told me that she was of the second group, sent here from prison, after being found guilty of a small crime. She often told me about her past experience in prison, among other stories about her life. I was shocked to discover that she had spent time in Newgate and was to be killed in prison for her crime, but was not killed as she gave birth to a child 7 months after entering the prison. After some time, she was then sent to America as a servant for many years. Her master's wife died, and her master quickly married her. She had two children, my husband and his sister. After hearing this story, I was silent for some time before asking her name while in prison. She told me, and I immediately realized that my husband's mother was the same mother that gave birth to me in Newgate Prison. I felt ill and could not speak. This discovery changed me. I was no longer living in happiness with my gentle husband and his cheerful mother, as I had for the past 3 years. I already had two children by my own brother, and would soon give birth to another. I worried all day and all night about this terrible situation. I could not tell my mother of this discovery. I had no way to prove my story that she was my mother as well as my husband's. My husband would never believe me either, as he thought me to be a woman of fortune and comfort my entire life. I was too afraid to tell them. I was in a new country with no friends but my mother and husband or brother. Soon after my discovery, our marriage became unbearable. I refused to sleep in my husband's bed. He became angry and unkind after my behavior had changed. I reminded him of his promise before we came to America, that if I was not satisfied with my life in Virginia, I was free to return to England. I declared that I must return to England, insisting that he treated me badly and I was too far from my friends. He attempted to persuade me to stay, reminding me of my love for my children, but I continued to demand that I leave for England immediately. My mother, as well, tried to persuade me to remain in Virginia. Finally, however, he became so upset with me and my continual requests to leave that he told me that I would never be allowed to leave him. He explained that if I left, my children would have no mother, and the family would suffer. After carefully considering my husband's views, I realized that he did not know the terrible secret I did, and was a hard-working, caring man, and believed this decision was the most suitable for his family. No wife that cared about her family would desire to leave, but I no longer saw him as my husband, but looked upon him as a brother, the son of my own mother. Therefore, I continued to insist that I leave for England. Finally, he called me a terrible mother, asking me how I could imagine leaving my children, never to see them again. He was correct, but I could not bear looking at them, nor could I look at him, my own brother. My husband still refused. He would neither go with me nor let me go without him. We quarreled often. I was as disrespectful and hurtful as possible to force him to let me leave. At last he proclaimed that if my terrible behavior continued, he would send me to a crazy house. This terrified me, as I knew that if I was sent to such a place, no one would believe my story of my husband being my brother as well. After he threatened to hit me, I told him that perhaps there was a secret about our marriage that he did not understand, which forced me to act as I did. I then admitted that he was not my husband by law, although neither of us should be blamed. When I told him this news, he turned pale and was soon ill. A few days later, after he recovered from his illness, he begged me to explain to him the reason we were not legally married. I explained that I would tell him nothing unless he would agree to let me return to England. He refused. He begged his mother to find out the mystery. She insisted for quite some time, although I told her the secret involved her as well. She was astonished to hear such things. Finally, I told my mother the story of my life, beginning at Newgate Prison, born into her arms. She was shocked and silent for some time before she exclaimed, "Unhappy child! What a terrible situation! Married to your own brother, having three children together, two of whom are still alive!" Before she left, she promised she would not tell my brother before we spoke again.